So this is wonderful. Now you had a good basis of what soil systems are. So what we're going to talk about is what are we mapping and what are these soil systems, some of the methods for mapping them, both aggregation, which has been done in the past, and spatial synthesis using object-oriented image analysis, and what's the point? Why are we mapping these soil systems? And that's as a part of a hierarchy. So a little background here, you know, at the large, broad ecoregion scale, you have things like the MLRAs and the land resource regions. Down from that, you have these soil systems. And then within systems, there are sets of soil catenas. And then within the catenas, there are then the series. So most broad-scale soils maps aggregate the finer details. And then earlier approaches from the beginning, there's been a recognition of appropriate units, appropriate scale. So, for example, soil forming factors across scales. So at a much smaller scale, you might look at terrain, where at a broad area, you might look at something like climate or temperature or rain shadows on mountains. And there are some challenges. Map units need to be informative and recognizable, which we'll talk about now. So this is a previous mapping effort in Ohio, the soil regions of Ohio, but if I say, for example, the unit there in the light red is Hoytville, Napanee, Paulding, Toledo, you won't know what that means. That has no meaning to you. You can kind of see where it is, but it means nothing. You guys already saw this. The soil systems map of North Carolina has an improvement because you have these systems grouped into the three classifications. They have names, they have meanings. You could think, so it's, you have the Appalachia area, okay, not influenced. So that has meaning. Or you have the physiographic regions map of Ohio. This includes things like ecoregions, more vegetation, land uses. But it does, the names for this, the legend's not there, but the names do have meaning and can be understandable just by a quick glance. So the simplest method for mapping soil systems would be to just reclassify the Sirgo database, take what's there, build up off of that. There are some alternatives. You can use previous mapping products and expert knowledge. They did this for the physiographic map of Michigan. They got a whole series of things, DEM and terrain maps. They had land uses, glaciation maps, and they, as groups, hand-drew a physiographic map of Michigan. What we are using is a bottom-up approach, building from the factors of soil formation or covariates representing those factors. So things like climate, organism, relief, topography, the Hans-Jenis, the factors of soil formation we're familiar with. So for the covariates, we did a statewide covariate data set at the 10-meter level, which is at the Sirgo level. And then for these soil systems mapping, we generalized to a 30-meter raster just for processing time. For terrain attribute layers, we used Saga GIS. The substrate was part of the soil parent materials mapping and through the IC project. And for climate, we used annual and seasonal precipitation, which was done in ArcGIS through the water balance toolbox. So for our dominant soil parent material map, this is just cropped to the Northwest Ohio study area. But you see the lake plains, lake deposited areas. You see different lobes of glacial till. And if we showed you the whole Ohio map, you'd see not just different till textures within Wisconsin in age, but you'd also see Illinoisan, and there is actually, it wasn't noted as a dominant soil parent material, but in Ohio you even have Kansian till around Cincinnati. We also have six different layers for terrain, which are our level DEM mid-slope position, ridgetop flatness, valley bottom flatness, slope, and valley depth. And then we have our climatological layers, and you do see definitely some variation in PET over the seasons from winter to spring to summer and fall. And you also see some interesting relief variations in the various glacial moraines show up there in northwest Ohio. And then we have these covariate layers. What are we going to do with them? It's object-based image analysis, which uses a dual process of segmentation and classification to generate homogeneous image objects and classify these objects. So object-based image analysis looks not just at a pixel, and then how does that pixel compare to pixels around it? Does it meet a threshold? Can we group these together? Object image analysis looks at objects by themselves, and then it has several advantages over a traditional pixel-based approach. One is that using object-based image analysis, you're less likely to get salt and pepper, where you see scatterings of like one or two polygon groupings within a larger area. And we used eCognition Developer, which is an environment for this. And with eCognition, you can input a stack of both raster and thematic layers, and it will look for these image objects not just within a layer itself, but within the stack, the entire stack. And these objects that it generates do have meaning, so you can sort by like mean objects with mean height above 200 meters or whatever. So this is the result. I won't read through the whole workflow, but we did end up initially with 250,000 about polygons, and then from there we went through and classified into the various soil systems. We did actually end up, the Lake Plain Moraine was a temporary classification that we broke out because within the Lake Erie Lake Plain there, it's very complex, and it was easier to break that out separate and classify it down because it's got multiple levels of inundation, it's multiple tills, it was easier to separate it out initially. And this is our final map of the soil systems. So you see right there up along Lake Erie and along Toledo, you see fine lacustrine deposits. You also see another crescent of fine deposits. You see some outwash across the landscape, especially on the borders of the lobes of the moraine. And then you see different types of till. And then another thing to note, the place names have meaning. So if you're from Ohio, you can tell, you know, Lake Erie, you know, the Swanton area, that has meaning. And then, you know, Darby Plain there around Columbus. And then why did we do this? What's the next step with these soil systems? So the ideal is to increase the accuracy of machine learning for digital soil mapping by spatially bounding the mapping areas. So as Phil had mentioned before, you start with a soil system, and within the soil system there is a possible set of catenas. And then within those catenas, there is a possible set of soil series. So we're hoping to increase the accuracy of the remapping of these catenas of these soil series with machine learning. And so we did have a preliminary catena map for Ohio soils, but in many cases, there's only a soil in a catena. So for example, in that Lake Erie Plain, there was 60 series were placed in 33 catenas. So again, there were lots of catenas with just a soil series, which kind of doesn't quite fit the ideal of a catena. So we reclassified the catenas to have several associated soils on a range from 2 to 12. So for Lake Erie now, it's 14 catenas with 60 series. And this is the soil systems and catenas map. So the catenas were bounded within the soil systems, and you can see again the Lake Plain, different textures within it, and then you see different lobes corresponding to different tills. And so it's part of a large area disaggregation effort in Ohio. So we have soil landscape systems. The map I showed you, the study area was 10, 9 plus water, but ideally with that in Ohio you'd expand it to 15, because here with this, we just called all residuum the same, but there is different types. There's different, we have some acid rock, we have some calcareous, so. And then catenas, approximately 100 for Ohio, and then series, there's the 445. So we started with the Scorpan covariates, which is so covariates corresponding to the soil forming factors, and then we moved to sample training for a set from Sergo and covariates, and then from there we moved to decision trees for the catenas and the series. So in conclusion, the soil systems are the top of a multi-scale hierarchy. It's the very first level, and then soil systems are used to limit a set number of catenas, which are then used to limit a set number of soils. And ideally, it's used to increase accuracy or to provide spatial bounding for soil catena and soil series mapping. Okay, yay.